password Mufu or something like that if you want to register.
Thank you. For you, I was like, did you? It has a Allison. Who's it? Allison Smith. Allison. Was it Allison Smith?
Yeah, that's her name.
Yeah. And yeah, and she's still the voice of.
She is still the voice of America for the most part.
Right. No, exactly. And I still love the one that you used to have when we went to DEF CON one year. You had
her saying,
we're all in Las Vegas. What was it?
Oh, we're all getting drunk in Las Vegas. Right. Nobody's here to answer your call.
Right. So she's a if you've ever listened to error messages on the PSTN and telephone network, you would probably know who Allison is. You would know by the voice.
Or virtually every radio commercial that has a female voice in it.
Yeah, yeah. She's insane.
She's very popular.
Yeah, she's insane. She makes a very good living. And then, what a strange thing. Just like to... You can actually hire, like, if you want to have your company PBX or your whatever, you can pay her.
Yeah, but strippers are a lot cheaper to pay.
That's true. But...
a lot more enjoyable, I gotta say.
However, we all don't live in Las Vegas, so it's... so, yeah, I'll have to explain that to my wife. Why is your PBX sound like a bunch of strippers? Well, honey...
Well, about that.
The other night, me and Gid...
We were really drunk.
Gid,
and...
Right. Damn you, Gid. Oh. But, oh, man. So, have you been on the Telefreak channel, IRC?
Yeah, I'm on there right now.
Oh. Right on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell them hi.
Okay.
I meant to actually tell several people about doing the slot this morning, but I neglected to do that, and I ended up waking up just in time to get down here after a elevator ride from hell. I was stuck on the elevator from 18 to the lobby about 10 times. Anyway, so yeah. See the Yes Man. I'm trying to figure out what other talks I want to see. I haven't actually really gone through the, of course, the social engineering panel, which is usually like hit or miss. And you see, this is your first hope, so you haven't seen.
I've been told that's the one panel I can't miss.
Yeah, usually it's like completely hit or miss. It can be either extremely hilarious or. I mean, it depends on trying to do stuff on stage live.
Right.
It's like that kind of...
It depends on whether or not you can actually accomplish the thing that you're trying to do.
And you only have like an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit more time to set up like,
your
mark and all that fun stuff. But it's at least fun to watch, you know?
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You got
to
tell them if they want to keep you down here to fuck off. I'm going upstairs and watching... The social engineering. Or, I see there's some drone talks. Have you gotten big into drones?
Not really.
Okay, maybe that's
Rodent.
That's Rodent. He's not here. About building.
I think he'll be on later tonight. Yeah.
Really, the only drone that I'm fascinated by is the quadricopter.
The what?
The quadricopter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what
basically
you're talking about.
Have
you seen the quadricat? Where the guy took his dead cat and then he put it. He like, and so it's like the cat and it's like paws.
That's pretty.
I saw it on TV. I was like flipping through your channel. I was like, wow, that's sick. I'll watch this for a little while.
I think I caught that on Reddit.
Yeah, it was really sick. And he said, the guy was just like, well, I just really love my cat. So I turned him into, and he died. And So I stuffed him and put
helicopters on.
So now we're still buddies.
Did you ever hear about the Tacocopter project?
No.
There was a small business here in New York City that wanted to start a taco delivery service via helicopter. Unfortunately,
this seems completely reasonable. Yeah.
Unfortunately, UAVs aren't allowed to be run in the public sector.
Okay, that's probably a good thing.
Or private sector, I'm sorry.
Right, but you mean like outside of the sector.
Yeah. Currently, the only UAVs that are allowed to run in America are by the EPA, I think.
Oh, yeah, EPA doesn't... I'm sure the military can still do it if they want to.
Yeah, on bases, they're fine.
Well, I mean...
But, unfortunately, you can't do it for profit.
Right.
But it would be freaking awesome.
I thought
awesome.
Police departments are using drones.
They could be.
Drones. Yeah, I guess. UAVs.
Can't wait for the day when there's a predator strike in America.
Right.
That'll freak some people out.
Well, we've had Americans be struck by UAVs in, what was it, Yemen? Was that where that guy, you may remember? He was.
Sounds familiar.
He was an American who had moved over to Yemen, I believe, and had suffered or had gotten killed by a UAV strike, a Hellfire missile, basically. And the thing was, you know, well, now we're really going down. Like, we're already doing some, like, pretty weird stuff in Pakistan and stuff like that with these strikes, but now you've killed an American over there. It was like he subject to due process. I mean, just because you don't like what he says and he happens to be in Yemen. Anyways, that whole thing that kind of came up. And that was like ACLU and all that stuff was getting involved.
Interesting.
But, wait, why are there... Okay, never mind.
Is this it?
Yes, I think so. Yep, U.S. born, that's it. Al-Qaeda leader, yeah. But what it kind of brings up is, whether you like what he's saying or not, you're still an American citizen.
Right.
And now you just given a kill order to, which not really, you know, president anymore. That's not supposed to be able to.
Yeah.
It gets into
Yeah, it gets into some sensitive areas.
Civil rights issues.
Right. I mean, that's no good. Let's see here. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm looking. Yeah, the Yes Man, I'll probably catch, like, I get to go to the DARPA funding for hackers.
Saw that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Rodent will be there.
I was going to say, I mean, I know a couple of guys who that's kind of like, I wouldn't say in their field of work, but work, you know, along those lines. And, yeah, so that's pretty much it. I mean, what's this?
Just some chat channel.
Ah. Have you, talk to anybody in the IRC network or Telefreak?
Nope, nobody has responded.
IRC.2600.net Telefreak.
Pound Telefreak, yeah. I think at one point we were the second biggest IRC channel on 2600.net.
No, definitely. Yeah, because we used to, nobody had that many people.
Back in the heyday, we had quite a bit of people on there.
Oh, exactly. And lots of people actually that, you know,
As someone who's new to all this, do you still get a lot of people who are interested in learning about that sort of thing now?
Yeah, we do. But
nowadays, it's mostly focused on voice over IP applications.
Okay.
Basically, how to get free phone calls over VoIP.
Right. Okay.
And you know, that's kind of like where, like, to me, how freaking kind of moved. It used to be about in the 80s and whatnot, like when I was a kid. That you would, you know, play on the PSTN, to the traditional phone network, and then, you know, things like blue boxing and stuff like that.
Sure.
But nowadays, it's all voice over IP, and that's become like the new phone freaks are like really into big voice over IP guys, and it's a lot of fun. I can only speak for myself. I'm not on nearly as much as I used to be. Like, I used to get on and talk with phone freaks from around the world. Like, we used to have a guy who would call him from Australia all the time. He don't hate us, by the way. Whatever.
Oh, I still talk to him.
I mean,
he loves me, but...
Yeah, I know. Well, you know who he hates.
He had the falling out with, yeah.
Whatever. He told me the other day.
He also pissed off.
I don't like the tyranny of the... I don't like the tyranny, really.
Tyranny?
Tyranny is a freaking hobbyist project. Tyranny? You're throwing the word tyranny in there? Anyway. We have people from around the world who will call in, you know, from, you know, every... From all over Europe and Asia and whatnot, and then who are kind of like the new phone to like the voiceover, doing voiceover IP and making their own phone networks do strange things.
You know? Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
That particular guy, he has played around quite a bit with trying to hook up the local radio network to the VoIP line.
Yeah.
Which I think was a lot of fun for him.
Yeah. I like him. I think he just has a problem with Rodent, and that's unfortunate. But
no. Even I had a problem with him at one point.
And it seems like that's been a common theme.
I don't give a damn anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the past be the past. You
know? Exactly. Move forward
Move on.
Then go from there.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, but I don't have the opportunity to get on. And I don't work as much VoIP stuff as I used to. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. You work on it for a while, then you kind of get burned out.
And, yeah.
You know, I used to, like, write, like, software like NC for VoIP crap. I read a freaking dialer for it was like for our Telefreak.
You wrote a custom database application for Telefreak for the voicemail boxes,
right?
Which eventually they actually came out with their own ODBC extensions on.
But that was it, you know.
I wrote the Meet Me Manager for Telefreak.
Which, you know what, we still
and then
use to this day.
A few years later, they came out with an Ajax interface for Asterisk.
Really? See, I did not even know this. So they have like a whole nice new...
They kind of stole my idea and improved upon it.
But, well, it does say in the source code at the bottom, do whatever you want with the source code. So they just took it to heart. So, I mean...
Yeah.
You can't blame them.
You gotta love open source.
Yeah. Actually, it was just beyond. You didn't even license it. It was just like, I don't give a shit what you do with it. Just, oh, if you have any problems, A, don't call me. B, you can say you guys wrote it. I don't really care. I was amazed. It wasn't like GPL version 2. You know? It was the GID open source model. Which is funny, actually. I still get people who ask me about, like, for instance, we have a in our IRC network. Excuse me, we have a IRC bot that you can query to find out how many people are on the voice conference or how many. It'll tell you various statistics about like our network. But I still get people who want the source code, and they're like, "I'm trying to get this working." And see, I haven't written that. I wrote that source code like a long time ago, and then Droogie rewrote it, and then somebody else rewrote it. So now I don't even know what the source code is. The bot keeps working, so I guess I don't really care. But yeah, but yeah, definitely fun times.
Right. So, is there a future for this sort of thing, or is it just sort of nostalgia at this point?
I think there's actually a big future for this sort of thing. It's just, I think we've been doing it for so, like, you know, Gid obviously still gets on the conference and still participates. I have a kid now, and a wife and a family, and I just don't have as much time.
Sure.
That I used to dedicate a lot of time of, like, writing software and white papers and...
Yeah, there are a lot of, business applications for using Asterisk and VoIP.
Actually, that's one place that I still actually use Asterisk is at my work. They said, like, at my work I have to wear a lot of different hats. So one of my hats is the phone guy. So I actually have to, you know, I had to set up, like, the Asterisk server. And it's a pain in the ass because then people, you know, call me. I'm not getting email my voicemail messages. So it's like, you know what? I'm not here to do your, I'm not your phone, like,
I'm not your phone guy.
Yeah, so, hello. So, but yeah, there's definitely a future. I mean, and if somebody were, you know, to start their own project, it would probably take off and it would probably be, you know, immensely popular. But, and for a while, I mean, our project was, like, insanely popular. But, you know, you know how it goes. You have to kind of, like, at some point, like, pass it on to other people.
Right.
Let them kind of do it, you know? So.
Yep.
I mean, I was actually supposed to write software for this conference, for Asterisk. It was a BBS software for Asterisk. And I got like halfway done with it.
Oh, I was going to ask you.
Didn't get it done.
Do you have to worry about the 2039 bomb for OpenVMS? Because I know that 32-bit Unix systems.
Okay.
Come 2039.
I've heard of
it. 2039. I thought you were like TCP port 2039. What the hell?
No.
You know, I haven't looked into it. I bet you it would probably be an issue. So one of the side projects that I do is run an OpenVMS cluster. And basically, OpenVMS is an older operating system started by a Digital Equipment Corporation. And it's actually still in development, but it's used in a lot of... Well, not a lot of, but I mean, you'll find it in manufacturing. And they use these old systems called VAXes and Alphas. And so, anyway, so what Gid was asking about was, in the year 2039, will it have the same problems with the other 32-bit platforms, and that basically it crashes when...
Basically, the time module was based on... January 1st, 1970,
I think. Seconds since. Yeah, I was going to say, I understand it. It's similar to the Y2K thing that never actually happened. But.
Right, right.
Okay.
It's actually very simple, because you run out of... So you have a certain amount of address rate. You have a 32-bit integer. And then at that point, the integer becomes too large for it to be stored in that, like, as a value, as one value.
Right, right.
So that the system, like, crashes. And I don't think it'll be as big as... year 2000, though that was hilarious watching the year 2000. I was very much involved with running around and putting stickers on machines, and that was just like
Y2K safe.
Right, I got actually paid extra to do that crap. I had a friend of mine who said Y2K bought me a boat. I was like, really? He's like, you have no idea how much money I made during Y2K.
The good old days.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it's going to be as big as that. Is there going to be... Fuck, you think explaining Y2K to people is hard? Try explaining, 2039 to people.
I don't know. I'm the newbie here, and I get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're also probably a technical guy. But imagine, it's hard enough explaining to, my mom. Well, actually, my mom's very technical. It's explaining to my grandmother why the year 2000, the Switch was kind of a big deal at the time.
Sure.
But I can't imagine trying to explain to her, 2039, there's no Switch. There's no... This is 39. I don't... Trying to explain that. It'd be... Yeah. So I won't be telling them anything.
Well, if each digit contained a certain number of bits, then what do you...
number
of
bits? Right. I'm going to do that.
You can just see people's eyes glazing over.
All I'm going to do is just be like, your shit's going to break. Okay? Just leave it at that.
You got to pay me lots of money to go fix it. That's it.
This is bullshit. You're just charging me to do something.
Right. By 2039, hopefully...
We're already moving out of the 32-bit...
Yeah, architecture.
Architecture anyway.
Right, But there's always going to be some legacy 32-bit stuff.
Sure, sure.
Like, in, be it microcontrollers or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's where people are talking about. Like, they're getting worried. Yeah. Is that these older... systems are going to be out there, and then the switchover is going to happen. Right. I wonder what's going to happen to, what is it, what are the two Mars, there's two Mars rovers? What are they? I don't know what they're called.
I don't remember their names.
Oh my god. Why don't I know them? Anyway.
I know is the one that's going to be landing in about less than a month.
There's a new one landing.
Yep. I was actually at the launch for that.
Oh, sweet.
I was at the NASA tweet-up event for that, so I got to watch it live from the press site.
Oh, sweet.
At
Cape Canaveral?
At the Cape. It was
kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen... I live in Jacksonville, Florida, which is up the street from there, but I can walk out on the beach and see the shuttle.
Okay.
But we would... when I was a kid, the third space shuttle mission, my dad was just like, we have to go see this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, took me out of school. I was, a little kid. He, took me out of school. They were like, is he sick? No, he's just not coming to school that day. Fuck off. And then drove down to the Cape, and at the time, you could get 3 miles away.
Yeah.
That was before Challenger blew up and all that. You could get 3 miles away from the space shuttle. Now, you have to go back for the space shuttle, at least. It was 5 miles away now.
Yeah.
Since the last one. But at the time, you could get 3 miles away, so... I remember my dad saying to me, he kept trying to get closer and closer, weasel his way through the crowd to get just that much closer. And I remember going, Dad, when are you going to be happy? We're the closest we can get. He said, until I can feel the heat on my face, I won't be happy. I want to get that close. I want to see how, if I can jump a fence and swim a little ways to an island and get that much, I would do it, but I'll probably go to jail. But, that was, one of the most intense experiences, as a kid.
Sure.
Watching it, go off and, I just remember watching, basically the steam is what you see. From the steam go. And then thinking to myself, I don't really hear anything. It's not really that loud. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
you have to wait for the sound.
Penn Jillette describes it as the best comic timing in the world.
Right, right.
Because you're I don't hear it. And just about the time that you're seeing this huge thing go up and you're... hear it, and just about that time, you're just hit with this wall of sound.
Oh, man, let's never forget, sitting there thinking, and everybody told me it's going to be, a really loud rumbling noise, and me just going, I don't get it, I don't really hear it. Oh, wait, there it is,
Anyway, the rovers.
Yes, yes.
Are they...
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, you remember those were supposed to be, I think, 90-day programs? Like, the rovers are supposed to last? The original rovers, they've been there for, what, 6 years now? Anyways, the original engineering and whatnot, was the idea was that they were going to be on Mars, and they had a life expectancy, of, I think, of 90 days. It may have been 120 or something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But now they're... you know, 6-7 years into it. So I'm wondering, are they 32-bit and will they be crashing when the 2039? Because those fuckers keep working.
Well, if they still have solar energy, yeah.
Well, the one that just went up, Curiosity, has a nuclear power cell. Its mission won't last for this long, but it's supposed to be good for like 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. Again, that's what the rovers weren't supposed to last that long.
Yeah.
And they're still going. Like, one of them has a broken wheel and they just drag it around.
I think one of them got stuck.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, they came out with the pretty cool panorama on Mars.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can look it up. But you can actually see, like, the other two rovers in the picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, these things have been just going forever. And they run they actually run an operating system called VxWorks from Wind River.
I would think they would use like Plan 9 or something like that.
Yeah, they're not Linux boxes. They're not, but they run VxWorks. Why I remember that, I don't know. Maybe probably because a lot of PBXs run VxWorks.
Yeah.
You know, that was one good thing about whenever we're doing like the voiceover IP, a lot of voiceover IP stuff. I read a book on voiceover IP, and I got a lot of good job opportunities out of that. Doing VoIP pin testing.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, me and Rodent, I had a job where I had to go to Manila, and I needed help out there, and I flew Rodent out to Manila. So we were in Manila for like 2 weeks doing VoIP pin tests. I was like, really? You guys are going to pay me to do this? I mean, I'll do that all day.
Sounds fun to me.
All right. If they're giving you money, don't ask
exactly.
questions.
Yeah. And for some reason, the book gave me like street cred. So, cool.
It means you're an expert in your field.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
at best, I just get shitty application jobs. It's like, yeah, I need you to write me an interface for this thing.
I probably also like pump it up too. When I was working on my first book,
back in the day.
Yeah. They're like, what do you write about? Oh crap. Yeah. But, so the new, is it a rover that's going? Is it an orbiter? I haven't even read
No,
anything
it's
about
a,
it.
It's a rover. It's
like
really
bigger
cool.
Than
it's rover? Much bigger. It's like the size of a car.
Well, because those things are not small, the ones that are up there. They're like a golf cart.
They're like, yeah, like they actually
but this
had
one's a, like the size of a car.
At the tweet up, they had, just the wheels for comparison, and one was like 2 inches in diameter, the other one was like
right,
6 inches
like
in diameter. This one was like
monster truck.
Comparatively
monster
speaking,
monster trucks
yeah.
on Mars.
Comparatively
that could
speaking,
be awesome.
I mean, it's so big.
So do you think they'll take the new one and then they'll crush the old ones with it, with the monster truck wheels? Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. Depending on where the
you'll
sky
pay for the whole seat, but you
lands.
Only need the edge.
Right. Sunday, up Mars. Yeah, it's gonna be the. So I imagine it's going to have like a much better range. And,
yeah, that's the idea.
I mean, it's...
It's actually a fully formed, fully self-contained laboratory. It's the Mars
right,
Science
right.
Laboratory
right.
Is the full name.
Now, are they just... All right, do they have just like more things to tell us that there's water on the planet? It seems like every time I read about Mars, it's like, new evidence shows that there might be water. It's like...
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Not even water. Can we move on?
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing is that, like, all the crevices. You can clearly see that there was once something that flowed.
Right, right, right.
And,
but was
it
H2O? Was it?
Well, yeah. Was it water? Was it liquid? Hydrogen,
methane, or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Who knows?
The spice must flow.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, and then that's gonna be landing like here fairly soon. I do remember watching. So I remember we have. God, I can't remember. It's like Opportunity and the other. the other rover. Well, before that, there was a small, even smaller rover that went to Mars. It was called like Sojourner, I think.
That
was like in the 90s. Let's find out. And I remember I stayed up all night watching. I think it was the Sojourner. Let's see. Spirit. There it is, 1997. I watched that one land. That was freaking awesome. Because remember, we hadn't been there since Viking, I guess. Or had we been there? Well, anyways, we had.
Yeah, Sojourner, Opportunity, and Curiosity is the ones planning.
Curiosity is a new one. Spirit.
Early August.
But when Sojourner landed, they used this technique of where they put it in. It basically parachuted in, mm-hmm. like the drag, and then it expanded to, and basically the nuke, it was kind of like a cell. It was like the Sojourner, the actual robot, was in a nucleus of this like big bouncing ball.
Right, yep.
Right, and it would bounce. And I don't remember if they did that with the Spirit and Opportunity, if it was the same landing method, but anyways, I remember it would bounce. I remember I was in 97, I actually went home. At the time, had, I think it was NASA TV, and bought like a six pack of beer, sat on my couch, and like my girlfriend at the time was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Shh, I'm watching something very important. I gotta watch it." And then like waiting for like the first pictures to come back. And then the first pictures come in, I was just like, "Yeah, I'm staying up all night watching this crap." Yeah.
I'm even more concerned about Curiosity because the whole thing is they call it a sky crane,
right?
So it's a you've got the sort of capsule-looking thing that enters orbit.
Right.
And then as soon as it's going through the heat, you know, it's into the atmosphere, the lower heat shield sort of blasts away.
Right.
And then the actual, the actual rover gets lowered on cables.
Right.
And there's like this series of jets that fire from the upper part of it.
Right.
I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. Pardon me. Just Google like NASA.
You're using hand motions.
Right? Yeah, and this doesn't work too well
great
on the
radio.
But if you're out there listening and you're curious, just Google Mars Curiosity. NASA JPL put together a wonderful CG graphic thing that details the entire thing.
Right.
And you're watching this thing and you're like, "There's no fucking way this
right.
is going to
work."
But wait a minute, it is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
You know, when Sojourner landed and they show, I remember watching like one of those computer generated graphic things and they show like the heat shield pops off and it comes down, then it falls down, it's on a parachute, and then at the end of the parachute or at the end of the line on the parachute, it explodes into like this huge bouncy ball, and then they drop it
with all
from
the airbags.
Like 100 yards, you know, and then it falls down. And I remember watching it going, "This is dumb. This is never going to work. This is, it's like one of the bags isn't going to, properly fill. It's going to fall."
It's what NASA and JPL refer to as the 7 minutes of hell.
That's how long
it takes for re-entry and landing.
Right.
Into
but
Mars.
Then it worked. And I remember it was kind of cool, like the way it's designed is kind of a pyramid shape.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what side it lands on, whenever it opens up, it'll always end up upright.
Right, okay.
Which was kind of cool. I thought that was kind of a neat design. So it opens up, and I just remember, but I remember watching like the video and just going, "This, yeah, you guys are screwed. I mean, this is just going to, you know what it's going to do? It's just going to go, "Urgh." It's going to be.
Well, that did in fact happen with one of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, Beagle 2.
Right, they've had a couple
I don't know, it was one of the probes that like, they did the calculations and feet and then programmed it.
No, exactly, there was a problem with.
To the rest of the world, yes, we know here in the U.S. that we are backwards with the imperial system.
Yes,
we know.
We are.
Really like to get on board with the metric system, but.
I remember Jimmy Carter trying to do that, that's what he said. He said we should really, while the rest of the world is metric, I think we ought to move. And Jimmy Carter said something along those lines, and everybody in America was like, "Ah, you're an idiot."
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, actually, it kind of makes sense. We probably should."
Universal standard.
Yeah, same guy who tried to put solar panels on the White House.
Oh, then which were immediately taken down by Reagan.
Yeah.
Because they were ridiculous.
Or wasn't it Nixon that took them down, or was it Reagan?
No,
I thought Reagan, Reagan would have been after Carter.
Well, after Carter, yeah.
Okay.
Nixon was, well, but, yeah, they took those out. And
did
actually,
they
even
have solar panels in the 60s?
No, they probably did. No, I'm
some sort?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't like what we would probably like today, but I think photovoltaic like devices were around. I think they were, but either here or there. But you know who
graphing actually, calculators?
You know who owns the solar panel from the White House? I heard this on NPR. This is awesome. You know who owns it? Actually, in a museum, the solar panel that Jimmy Carter had on top of the White House. You know who owns it? It's at Chinese museum.
Oh,
how screwed up is that? It's like, and guess who? I mean,
not public auction and such.
No, exactly. They almost got it for free, and this museum is like in China. Like, ended up buying it. I was like, oh, it's a kind of a curiosity. Probably got it for like next to nothing. And it was when right after Reagan had taken it all down, so it's in a museum, and they. I just think it's really strange because it's like the technology we should probably be leading in, but we're not.
Well,
I think we killed an hour here.
We're over, but that's cool.
It's
all good.
We should have just started talking about Mars from the get-go.
Yeah, we did go a little bit off the rails there, but it's all good.
We were all over the place.
Well, considering this morning whenever I woke up, I was like, well, I have no freaking idea what I'm going to talk about. Luckily, all my buddies will be down there. Thank God Gib showed up for me. Yeah, so me just rambling by myself.
Well, if anyone's still listening, check out telefreak.org.
Telefreak.org.
They'll be listening in the future.
Join the IRC channel or join the conference.
Yeah. Please do.
As we've established, there's still guys, if you're interested in sort of exploring this sort of thing, there are clearly still people out there who are willing to show you the ropes.
And a bunch of familiar people on IRC to talk about it with.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very cool stuff. Very fun.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for putting up with us.
And enjoy the rest of your time here at Hope.
All right. Well, thank you, and thanks for putting up with us, as I said.
No, glad to.
All right. And don't let them keep you down here for too long. Get out and see some of the conference.
I'll get out for, I'm sure I'll get a bathroom break at some point.
Here. Oh, yeah. Sneak out. Well, thank you, man.
All right, guys. Thank you. All righty. So we now return you to some music for a little while. Enjoy.